Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this week I want to look at the next one. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And again, I'm going to ask you for a little grace tonight because my preparation time this week has been somewhat hindered. So I'm not quite as prepared as I would love to have been. But the Word of God speaks for itself. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I want to direct you to another passage and have grace on our sound and media guys back there because I gave them no verses tonight, okay? But in Psalm 55, I believe it's verse 6 through 8. Yeah. Do we have that? Yeah, Psalm 55, verse 6 through 8. I believe that's what it is. Psalm 55. Verse 6 through 8. It's okay. It's all right. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. David is writing the psalm, and he's saying, man, if... I saw this movie one time. This girl would offer this prayer. She said, God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away. Y'all remember that movie? It's Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. And that's kind of what David's saying here. Lord, that I could just be a dove and I could fly away and get away from all of this anguish and get away from this stuff. And he wants to go away and get to a place of refuge, away from the stormy wind and the tempest. Almost every one of us have made a cry of some sort like that at some time in our life, haven't we? Oh, Lord, if I could just get away. Oh, I just need to go and hide out somewhere and kind of get away from all of this stuff. A cry for release or freedom are those things that weigh heavily on us. When we face great sorrow or disappointment or even tragedy, failure, we wish we could just escape the trouble like we escape a thunderstorm that comes up. And we've had some of those lately. And we how do you escape that? Well, you either run to the car or run to the house or run somewhere and get undercover and you get away from that rain. But the deeper the sorrow, the harder the pressure, the worse the despair, and the more elusive comfort seems, right? How many of you have gone through such a time that was so difficult that it was hard to find comfort? And you couldn't, okay? The Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that's, okay, that's good, but what does it mean to mourn? What does it mean to mourn? What is Matthew writing as Jesus is talking here? And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. What does it mean to mourn? And there's a lot of passages in Scripture that talk about mourning, often at the death of a loved one or something like that, or mourning over, David mourning for the death of his infant son. We have Jacob mourning over what he thought was the death of his son, Joseph, and Israel mourning over Jacob's death when he did die. And we have lots of types of mourning. We also have some other types of people who are mourning and wailing and beating their chest as if to offer a show so that people will see that I'm mourning. And none of those is what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about a godly type of mourning. And so what is a godly type of mourning? And it has nothing to do with what I just talked about. Jesus is concerned about all the sorrows of our hearts, right? And he promises to comfort us and to strengthen us when we turn to Him for help. But those are not the kind of sorrows at the issue here. He's not talking about those who mourn when someone dies, for they will be blessed. He's talking about a godly sorrow that we mourn over. Paul writes in Corinthians, and I don't the chapter and verse is if Alex wants to work on it real fast, is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 and 10. And again, have grace and mercy on the guys back there, because they're flying by the seat of their pants here. But Paul speaks to the letter to the Corinthians, and he says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret." Now, there's a whole sermon in that, repentance without regret, which leads to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. The only sorrow that brings spiritual life and growth is a godly sorrow, sorrow that is over sin that leads to repentance. Okay? Godly sorrow is linked to repentance, and repentance is linked to sin. And so when we go back to the first beatitude that we talked about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he makes it clear that those who get to heaven, those who have eternal life, are because of they recognize the poverty of spirit they have. They're nothing without the Spirit of God. They're nothing without Jesus Christ. And so that leads to those that are poor in spirit will recognize, and those they will have a sense of their worthlessness without Christ. And it's that spiritual poverty that leads to godly sorrow. And it's interesting how he put this in here, because you have to start with a poor spirit, which leads to being sorrowful for our sin. And it's interesting that there in Hebrew, in the Greek, there are 9 different words that we translate as sorrow or to mourn. And one use here is called pentheo, which is the strongest and most severe type of sorrow that is ever expressed. And it's the kind of that deep felt, heart-wrenching grief that was usually reserved for when somebody dies. And it's that kind of sorrow, that anguishing, that pain in the heart, that emptiness, that turn your stomach sick kind of sorrow that you get. And it carries a sense of deep agony, deep inner agony, which may or may not be represented by an outward showing of it. Okay? You can be sorrowful and you can mourn deeply without falling to your knees, wailing and boo-hooing and all that kind of stuff, because it's a very personal, very deep rooted sorrow that God's talking about here. And he says that this, as I was reading in one of the commentaries, he said that happiness does not come in what God, it says here, happiness comes not in the mourning itself, but it comes with what God does in response to it. With the forgiveness that such mourning brings, godly mourning brings God's forgiveness, which brings God's happiness. So what he's talking about here is not that mourning of just, you know, when we mourn because it's our alarm clock went off in the morning and it's time to get up. Anybody ever mourn over that? Have sorrow over that? Yeah. He's not talking about that kind of mourning or that kind of sorrow. He's not even kind of, you know, when we lose of when my Jessie, my dog, my yellow lab, who's out in my office right now, she's with me most of the time, you know, even when I'm up at the church. one of these days she's going to get old and I'm going to have to put her in the ground, and I know that. And that's not even the kind of sorrow we're talking about today. I will tell you, I'm going to be sorrowful when that happens, okay? Because I love my dog. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something more significant and more sincere than that. I'm not more sincere. Let me change that. Something that is more profound than that, okay? We're talking about godly sorrow, and what Jesus is talking about here is let me kind of rephrase this. Blessed are those who have a godly sorrow for the sin in their life that leads to repentance, for they will be comforted with God's comfort and with God's blessing. Okay? I expanded all that. Don't write that down, because that what I just said is not Scripture. But that's my interpretation of what Jesus is really saying here, okay? This world that we live in today doesn't really believe like that. This world we live in today says you need to pack up your troubles, smile, put on a good show, let everybody feel like everything's okay, hide your problems, pretend to be happy. And the problem is that same philosophy is often applied to sin. Just smile like everything's going on. Nobody knows what's going on behind your closed doors. It's all good. Just put a smile on. Put a painting over it. Pull the window shades down. What they don't know, nobody knows, right? Well, here's the deal. God knows. And we know. And you can't have a true happiness when there is sin in existence. The two just don't, they don't jive. They don't go together. I like what this guy writes. He says, only mourners over sin are happy because only mourners over sin have their sins forgiven. Sin and happiness are totally incompatible. Where one exists, the other cannot. And until sin is forgiven and removed, happiness is locked out. Mourning over sin brings forgiveness of sin, and forgiveness of sins brings a freedom and a joy that cannot be experienced in any other way. And this commentator goes on to add this, which I thought was kind of interesting. He says, there is a great need in the church today to cry instead of laugh. The silliness and foolishness that go on in the name of Christianity should themselves make us mourn. What makes you mourn over your sins? Do we mourn over our sins? Do we come to the point where we say, I am poor in spirit, and I recognize that. And here's why I'm poor in spirit. It's because of this thing that's going on in my life, or these things that are going on in my life. You see how one leads to the next? And so it's only those that come with a true recognition of our sin and a sorrowfulness of our sin that leads to true forgiveness of our sin. How many of I've got a lot of parents in the room, okay? Child comes home from work, comes home from school, and you've already got the phone call from school, right? So you ask child, hey, tell me what happened at school today. Oh, just a regular day at school, dad, mom. Oh, really? Well, so-and-so called me today, and I hear that you've did whatever, hit another kid at school today. And the child says, well, I didn't mean to. Well, wait a minute. I'm told that it was more than just a hit. You got into a full-blown fist fight. Well, I was justified. They don't say these words, but they explain how they were justified because this other person had kind of made them mad about some stuff. And so you say, well, are you sorry about that? And they say, you bet I am. And what they mean by being sorry is, I'm sorry I got caught, and I'm sorry I got in trouble. I'm not so sorry I punched old Joe in the face, because poor Joe, I always say Joe's name, right? Billy. I punched old Billy in the face, and that's why I'm sorry. I'm not sorry that I punched him. I'm sorry I got in trouble for it. Okay? Sometimes we come into the same thing and we confess, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I got caught in that sin I was in. Please forgive me for getting caught in my sin. Now, we don't say those words, but sometimes that's what we really mean. Is that what Jesus said here, blessed are those who mourn? Is that mourning over our sin, or is that mourning over our punishment, or mourning over our consequences? And what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those who truly mourn over their sin, knowing that they were in error, that it goes against God's rules, God's law. Those who are truly sorry over that, truly repented of that, truly mourning over their sin, because they know that the sin is not against Billy. The sin was against God the Father. And I was offered an offense against my Heavenly Father because of my action against somebody that He loves and He created also. And I'm sorry about that. See, that's that godly sorrow. You understand to see the difference in that? Well, what does that do for us? What does godly mourning, godly sorrow do for us? And the result is that we shall be comforted. Not with a comfort that comes from the world. You know, I love when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace. Not peace as the world gives, but my peace. Well, when we want comfort, do you want the comfort that the world gives, or do you want comfort that only God can give? I want godly comfort. Well, godly comfort only comes from godly sorrow. Only those who mourn over sin will be comforted. The blessing of God's comfort is reserved exclusively for those who have a repentant heart, and it's only for those who mourn for sin that will have their tears wiped away by a loving hand of Jesus Christ. Only through the sorrow and through the mourning of our sin does that occur. So, and here's the kind of the crux to the matter. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we mourn in a godly way, in a way that is effective, and in a way that God honors? And when I say honors, remember, He's the one that's going to give us the blessings of that. He's the one that's going to give His comfort. And here's the three things that are identified, okay? For one, to mourn in a way that honors God, we have to remove the things that stand in the way of that. What is it that often stands in the way of that? Well, the love of sin itself. The love of sin. Not necessarily the sin, but the love of sin. And it's the primary thing that stands in the way. And holding on to sin will harden a heart quicker than Dallas. Another thing is the conceit. What does that mean? Well, that's the one that tries to hide the sin itself. Choosing to believe that there's nothing really to mourn over. Well, it wasn't that big a deal. We minimize whatever. And it's kind of like going to the doctor and him treating your cancer as if it were a cold. It's two completely different things. Realizing that the cancer we have is sin, and we just want to go get a vitamin C shot. It's not going to fix the cancer. If it was necessary for Jesus Christ to shed His blood on the cross to save us from our sin must be great indeed. Remember, there's no gradation of sins. There's no gradation of sins. It's all bad enough to require the blood of Jesus Christ Himself to forgive it. Doesn't matter if it was killing somebody. Doesn't matter if it was slandering somebody's name. And if it was big enough that Jesus had to give His blood, then it's big enough that we need to be mournful over. Another thing that stops us or keeps us from having this godly mourning that we talked about is what's identified as presumption. And I had to kind of really dive into this and figure out what was meant by this, but it's really a form of pride. And it recognizes the need for grace, but really not much grace. It's satisfied with cheap grace, expecting God to forgive little because it sees little to be forgiven. Well, it wasn't that big of a deal anyway. And so, you know, nobody even likes Sally anyway, so what does it matter if I called her a... whatever Sally is. Sins are bad, but not bad enough to be confessed, repented of, and forsaken. I'm not going to bother God with that. That was such a little thing. And, you know, he probably didn't even know it or probably doesn't care. It's not that big a deal to him. Remember, there's no gradation of sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And it all brings sorrow to God. And when we recognize that it brings sorrow to God and we're sorrowful for that because we have grieved the heart of God, that's where godly mourning begins. Okay. Procrastination. You know what procrastination is? Why do today what I can put off till tomorrow? Right? Procrastination is when you've got a... all of our youth are gone, but when I've got that report that's due Monday and I wait till Sunday night to finish it. Right? I got that project at my job to do, and I'm not ready for it. I'm not going to start it today. I'm going to start it tomorrow night because it's not due till the next day because I've got other things I want to do today, even though this is my job and what I get paid to do, right? I'm not going to say I'm sorry to my wife tonight because I'm just going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy this little rift we're having right now. And I'm going to teach her a lesson by that because she was wrong, right? Yeah? Anybody ever been there, done that? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? One of these days, I'll take a good hard look at my sins, and when things are just right, I'll confess them, and I'll ask God to forgive me and cleanse me. You see, what a foolish thing that is, because how many of you know what tomorrow holds for you? There's a lot of folks, people, that are living their lives. Oh, I know that there's going to come a day, there's going to be a reckoning, but I'm going to handle business before then, but just not today because right now I'm having too much fun. A lot of those people never make it home. And that is a sad thing. It's a sad thing. So, the first thing we got to do is we got to get rid of those things that stand in the way of God of godly sorrow, right? And then the second thing we got to do is we got to dive into God's Word. And the reason that we need to dive into God's Word is that so we will see and understand what those things are that grieves the heart of God. What exactly is sin? And we don't know what sin is until we understand what God has already said about sin. What's okay? What's not okay? What is He like? What is He not like? If we don't know the Word of God, how do we know how to live our life? And so we've got to study the Word of God. Sin tramples on God's laws. It basically says, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. It makes light of His love, of His forgiveness, of His grace. It actually rejects or puts a snub. You know, it's thumbs the nose at God's forgiveness and His blessing, because I'm going to tell you, if you're going to treat God that way, don't expect to be blessed. Sin makes us weak and makes us impure, and it robs us of comfort, and much more importantly, it robs God of His glory. And if that doesn't make you mourn, I think God will. God will make you mourn. But I don't want to mourn for all of eternity either. That's the kind of mourning that God loves, is when He makes us or gives us an opportunity to mourn for all of eternity. The third thing that I'm going to mention, the last thing that I'm talking about here, what keeps us from mourning in a godly way, one, we have to remove all the hindrances. Number two, we study God's Word. And then the third thing we got to do is pray. Pray for repentance. Pray for a repentant heart, one that really is in tune with God's heart. God never refuses to give to those who ask for a repentant heart. And we need to understand that God's that the godly mourning, the way to experience godly mourning lies not in what we do. It all rests in God's mercy and in God's grace. When we realize that what Jesus is saying here, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who recognize there's true standing with God without Jesus, okay? And they're completely destitute without Him. They need Jesus Christ. I recognize that without Christ, my spirit is bankrupt and I need Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, okay? Now, blessed are those who mourn. Once you've experienced that destitute, that, remember, it's not just the beggar, it's the not just the poor, but it's the beggar, the one who is down in the corner, realizing he has, if you don't give him a coin, he has absolutely nothing. It's when we recognize, if I don't have Christ, I have absolutely nothing, and I have nothing. I don't even have a reason. I mean, a standing to really ask. And all I can do is just beg for mercy. And it's that in that moment when we realize we're poor in spirit that leads to recognizing what it is within us that grieves the heart of God. Blessed are those who mourn. Remember, he's not talking about blessed are you when you lose a loved one and you mourn. Okay? Now, that mourning is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's godly examples of that. Jesus himself mourned. But that's not what he's talking about here. Remember, the Greek word was that strongest, deepest type of mourning. And what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those who recognize that sin that exists in our lives interferes with the relationship of God. And that grieves God's heart, and it ought to grieve our hearts. And we recognize that and confess that and get that out in the open, get that out of the way. Then they will receive comfort that only God can give. Comfort that you won't find in a bottle. Comfort that you won't find in a relationship. Comfort that you won't find in a fast car or a big fish. And I'm not talking about Jonah and the whale tonight. I'm talking about if you're a fisherman and you bring in that fish of a lifetime, you know, I'm talking about a comfort that's even better than that. Better than a hot wife or a studly husband. Better than a... Am I saying too much? Whatever analogy you can conjure up in your mind, the comfort of God surpasses it. And that's what he's saying here. Those who truly mourn and are sorrowful over the sin in their lives, confess it, get it out there, get it over with, get it done, they will receive the comfort of God. That's kind of where we are. The question is, are we in that position of being sorrowful over our sins? It's a growing process. It's a growing process. We got to know what sin is. We got to pray to God for a heart that recognizes that sin and a heart that is quick to confess that sin to Him. Right? And we got to get rid of anything that stands in the way. Whether that be a relationship, whether that be an issue like myself that I confess tonight to you, my pride, whether that's whatever that is in our lives that stands in the way of us confessing that and getting that out in the open, or minimizing what sin is. Those who are truly sorrowful over their sin will receive the comfort from the one who forgives sin. Amen. Father, I thank you for this room full of folks tonight, and I ask your blessings upon them, Father. I pray that as we continue to study the Word of God, that you would just continue to teach us, that you would continue to stretch us and mold us, and that we would be responsive like that, like the clay in your hands, Father. Clay in your hands doesn't fight you and resist you and say, no, that's not what I want to be. The clay just becomes what you want it to be. Lord, may you find us in that way. And Lord, you don't find us that way without a heart that is receptive to you. You don't find us that way until we recognize that we are poor in spirit. And you don't find us that way until we recognize that the things that we do that displease you don't just displease you, they grieve you. And may we be grieved over those things as you are grieved over those things. May we confess it, get it done with, and receive the blessings of God the Father, the giver of all good things. May you find us faithful as you are faithful, in Jesus' name. Amen.